Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
And Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. Now, I'm going to start off a little morbid here, but just hear me out. I think when you get to the end of your life, you look back on your life and you say, man, I'm really lucky I got to live through this great moment in our history. Like, I was there when we landed on the moon. I got to see Willie Mays play, things like that. I don't really think the audience realizes they experienced something very special here. We all lived through the longest period of time that Evan Roberts did not host a sports talk radio show. Guy went 2 weeks without telling somebody, maybe somebody on the side of the road he gave his opinion to, but 2 weeks this guy didn't get to give his sports opinions, a little bit here with the Rico, but not in the sports talk radio, you know, forum. So what I gave you today was, in my opinion, the five things Evan missed the most when he was on his European vacation.
Okay.
Here we go.
I'm excited.
Number five.
Now, obviously, you know, I assume Dudley didn't make the trip, so I'm not talking about your dog or things like that.
He would have been number one, by the way, because Dudley didn't make the trip. And when I finally saw him after 2 weeks, like, I let him lick my face for 5 minutes straight. It was unbelievable.
And it's not cheating if it's your dog. I must put out that.
So, why are you out in public canoodling?
Was that? Oh, that was Evan's canoodling with his dog. All right. So number five is cutting up audio and sending it to me. No joke, Friday, Evan landed. Saturday morning, I woke up to this, Tiki.
Absolute stiff.
That was sent to me. I don't know who. And then I pondered, which Met is Joe talking about? Is he recounting Jets? Did he go over our 25, you know, the central, all-century team? Like, where? What was the, who was he talking about?
He was talking about, if I gave you 100 guesses, you would not come up with it.
Absolute
it was Saturday morning.
Stiff.
It was Saturday morning.
Absolute stiff.
Saturday morning. So after the Mets lose the Friday night game. Friday night game is obviously the game where Manaea pitched well. Mm. And then they go to the bullpen. And the bullpen completely, you know what's the bet.
Absolute stiff.
So the absolute stiff he was referring to is Alex Correa,
absolute
the reliever.
Absolute stiff.
The reliever who came in, and then, of course, Mendy couldn't take him out. Just
right.
Let him give up three home runs or whatever it was.
Joe, here we go.
Number four.
Number four is asking Sal Licata if the NL East is over, which
I did miss that. There was a party that wanted to text him and just say, hey, is the NL East over?
Yeah,
I decided not to, but I wanted to.
Evan, he started to get a little bit, not quite physically, but like verbally violent with Tommy.
What?
Yeah.
I think Sal figured, all right, Evan's on vacation.
Yeah.
Tommy runs a little bit of a loose ship.
Right.
He's not going to ask me. Bro, the first day I walked up to him, he stared a hole through me and was like, we're still doing.
Not right. You too, positive Tommy.
Get out of my face. Idiot. Get
like,
out of my face.
I'm like, Sal, you don't understand this. We literally have a guy that listens to our radio station named Dan that writes everything down we do. He's going to report back to Evan. He's going to say we didn't do this. So I have to, as a producer, ask you this. Now, I didn't ask him last week with the break, but I asked him, I think, every day, pretty sure.
Close and enough. Did he get close to declaring the NL East over? Like, where was he?
No, not once at all. He was very short with me. It was like, no, get away from me. Like, he wasn't having it. He was, but I had to ask for the show, you know?
Great. Oh, good job by you. I respect that.
All right, here we
number
go.
Three.
All right, I had this on my list, but Evan said the food was great. I put food. Now, Evan might have loved the food. He sent us some prawns, picture that. You know, the minute Evan got home, he went right for the tuna fish sandwich. He went right for the oldies but the goodies. You know what I mean? It's not like Evan is now going to have a expanded palate because he went to France and Italy. So I think Evan missed the food when
he
was out there.
Did Abuelo cook on Saturday night?
Did Abuelo? Oh, when we were home?
Yes.
No, we did a lot of ordering in once we got home.
Oh.
He needed a break too, man. It was a lot. That trip was a lot.
What are you talking about? He needed a break. He was on vacation.
Yeah, Tiki, you know this better than anybody. A European vacation in which you're going city to city, which is essentially what we did. We didn't stay in one place for longer than 2 days. There was a lot of driving. There was a lot of sightseeing. That's not a relaxing vacation.
No, you need a vacation from the vacation.
Yes!
Right.
This is my vacation from the vacation. Turning on a microphone and telling you the Yankees had a DVD championship kind of moment on a Saturday. This is my vacation. So, Tommy's dead wrong. The food was amazing. Mm. I actually miss the food from Europe. It's probably the best thing about the continent and probably the best thing about Italy was how awesome the food was. Because I got to tell you, Venice to me pissed me off.
Mm. Well, here we go. Hey, was I right? Did I tell you?
That Venice is overcrowded?
Yep.
Here's the problem with Venice. Okay,
absolute
so for those
stiff.
Okay. For those that are not aware, because I'm sure Sean had no idea, Venice is the city that's basically got canals all over the place. So you need to get on a boat to go here and there. Like, there were no roads, right? And I went there, and it was unique, and it was special, and I was like, wow, this is crazy, and I was eating dinner, and it hit me. It's a theme park. That's what it's not a real city. Who lives on that thing? Nobody lives on that thing. People go to that thing because it's weird and different. They take pictures. They say, ooh, there's no streets. It's just canals. You take a boat here and a boat there, and there's a taxi here and a taxi. That is a carnival act. So I just can't take it seriously. Like, was it fun? Sure. Was it unique? Absolutely. But that is, I call BS on that being a real place.
So is Disney, right? That's your response.
Yeah. It's Disney. Dude, it's Disney World. They're putting on a show for us. Like, oh, yeah, look at this. We got taxi, water taxis to go here and go there. Our subways are boats. Like, no human being actually lives there. Mm. And if they used to live there, they left because tourists like me, who are pigs, took over. So Venice is just, it's not real.
What I've took from this conversation is that after 2 weeks of vacation, Evan is going to take yet another vacation, the vacation from the vacation. Here we go.
Number two
is going to Met games. Now, I called Evan out for this. He doesn't know this. I said it to Sean. This is such up the Evan a playbook. He went to basically every Met game before this vacation, and I guarantee you, he told his wife, listen, honey, we're going to go on this trip, you know, but I want to bring Jet to these games. He went to every Brewer game that when they were here. So leading up to the trip, he went to every game, and I know it was a big weekend, but really, if the Mets weren't giving anything away and they weren't retiring any numbers this weekend, they were playing some innocuous team, Evan would have been at Citi Field twice, which he was, Saturday and Sunday. He couldn't wait to run back to Citi Field. He missed it.
You're right. I couldn't wait to go. I went on Saturday with Jet, my dad. I went on Sunday with my youngest son, Spence. And now they're about to play the Angels. And I was going to go tonight.
Because
and
of the Yeet bobblehead, right?
Excuse me?
They have the Jey Uso Yeet bobblehead tonight.
They
isn't that a
do.
Good one?
It's a specialty ticket, so you almost have to buy a separate ticket.
Oh, got it.
So I was going to go to this entire Angels series because you're right. My wife gave me a look when I got home yesterday. And it was the look of... It was the look of, you're done for this homestead. You went out Saturday. You went out Sunday. I respect it. You're done.
Right.
And so we didn't even have a conversation, Tiki. I immediately made sure I moved Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and abandoned ship. So I'm done. I'll watch the games at home because the look,
right.
It wasn't even words. It was a look of, all right.
Let me follow up from earlier. Is Abuelo cooking tonight?
Yes.
Ah, see, there you go. Yes. So you're fine being home, and you get to eat at a reasonable hour.
I don't mind being home. I love going to games, but you know, I also understand that I'm a husband and a dad. I got to have some responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. All right, and last but not least.
Number one.
The one thing that Evan missed most on his European vacation, doing sports talk radio. He lives for it. He was basically doing with us in text chains, but that's not the same as being on the air. You know, he got here, he rushed today, 2 o'clock, even with the doctor's appointment, 2:01, ready to be on the air, professional. Evan Roberts, after a long, you know, lapse of not doing sports talk radio, is back where he belongs doing it.
Thank you. Yes, I agree with that. Now, I think that the Rico helped me because I was able to at least do some Mets after each series. But it was challenging because I've never taken 2 weeks off. Even for my honeymoon, it was more like a week and a half. Like, we actually never did the full 2 weeks. So it was a long period of time. I'm glad to be back. I'm going to give Tiki Barber a big hug tomorrow. I think I'm over missing Tommy. So I'll probably just look at you and be like, hey, what's up, Tommy?
That didn't last long. That was like 2 hours. Honeymoon's over.
I did miss you, though. I missed you the most. It's like, what was the main character's name in Wizard of Oz? What's her name?
Dorothy?
Redhead?
Dorothy,
yes.
She doesn't have
what's
red hair.
What's her name?
No, hold on. She doesn't have red hair, first of all.
Yes, she does.
No, she does not.
Yes, she does.
Dorothy, you're thinking of Wendy from Wendy's. She has red hair. Or
does she have red
hair? Dorothy is a brunette.
Red hair.
No,
you
she
can't
had,
tell.
She
you can't
shoes.
Tell because it's
not. It's in black and white?
It's in black and white until she goes to Never Never Land and
no,
then
she
the
goes,
color comes
she goes
in?
To Oz.
Oz, right. Same thing.
Which is
Never Never Land.
Right.
She does have red hair.
Thank you. What? I know she does. I don't know why Tommy's disagreeing with me.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing to disagree with me about. But Wizard of Oz, Dorothy, says, I missed you most of all. And now, do you remember which character she says that to?
To her dog.
No, because she didn't miss Toto. She was with Toto.
Oh, that's right.
Which character did she say?
Because they were all people in her town.
They were, but she was saying, I'm going to miss you most of all. Let me correct myself. Of the characters that she met in Never Neverland or Wizard of Oz, which character? See, I know a lot about this movie, even if I don't. Who did she say?
I have no idea.
Was it the Tin Man?
You're guessing the Tin Man. I'm not going to tell you. Tiki, give me a guess.
I mean, the Cowardly Lion?
It was not. You're both wrong. It was the Scarecrow.
Scarecrow.
Oh,
darn it.
Why?
Yeah. I don't know, because he didn't have a brain or something. Oh, no, he didn't have a heart. I forget which one didn't have which. The only thing I remember is the lion didn't have courage.
Yeah, exactly.
No, the Tin Man didn't have the heart.
Right, so the other guy, he didn't have a brain.
Scarecrow
right.
had, like, straw in his
So head. You're saying I don't have a brain. Is that what you're getting at here?
Yes!
All right.
Maybe that's why Dorothy was going to miss him the most, and maybe it's why I missed you the most. I have no idea.
By the way, Judy Garland, who obviously was Dorothy, I don't think she had red hair.
She is. I'm looking at tons of pictures. She is most definitely a redhead.
But she's
kind of an Evan Roberts redhead, because there are moments...
Fugazi.
No, it's just there are moments when it looks brown.
She's a redhead.
It's
like Thomas Jefferson. He's a redhead.
Yes.
Like, I know he doesn't look necessarily like a redhead. He's a redhead. Blake Griffin. Remember Blake Griffin, former NBA player? Redhead. It's another one. If you have a little bit of redness in your hair, shut up. You're a redhead. It doesn't matter. That's the way it works. I'm sorry. Those are the rules. Don't yell at me. Like, if you're just like a little bit of a redhead, like one time you were a redhead, you're a redhead. Lucille Ball, redhead. We got a lot of redheads. But I think Thomas Jefferson may be the only redheaded president. I'm trying to think if anybody else.
I like to go to former presidents' boyhood homes.
When did I say that? I sound so young when I said that. Speaking of people without a brain, let's say good afternoon to Ozzy in Woodridge. What's up, Ozzy?
Also going to Oz. So it's a perfect segue.
That was the perfect segue. I wish I thought of
it. He didn't realize it.
Yeah. I realize everything, Tiki. Right. My 50, soon-to-be 50-year-old brain still works. And you know what else works? The Sylvia stare back in the States has Evan shook like a little boy, like one of her three sons, baby.
Well, you got to know when to hold him and know when to fold him. Like, as much as I love going to Met games, I got to the games I really wanted to go to against Cincinnati, the David Wright stuff. It's the Angels on a Monday and a Tuesday when it's hot as you know what outside. I'd like to go, but I also know, let me save this for, I'll tell you what I got to save it for. This is a story for another day, but put it this way. My son, Jet's birthday party is going to occur during Mets Rangers, which is the Old Timers Day. Fair enough, I'll miss Old Timers Day, no big deal. But if it's Jacob deGrom's return, we're going to have an issue.
Yeah, hold on, Ozzy. One quick timeout for a second.
Go for it. Yeah.
It appears that there were multiple presidents that had redhead, including, even though he's Ike. Often depicted with a white wig, George Washington.
Really?
Thomas Jefferson.
Did Eisenhower before he got bald?
Andrew Jackson. There Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Yes.
And Calvin Coolidge.
I could see that. Yeah. We don't want Andrew Jackson, though, so I'm going to throw him.
You want Trump?
You can delete him.
Trump's not a redhead. He's got the whitest hair in the world.
No, it's like orangish in the right tint and the right angle. So
I don't know. I don't think he qualifies. I thought Obama had red hair for a while, too, but I don't think he qualifies either. So I think it's just the guys that Tiki named. I'm going to have to make an all-star team of redheaded presidents. Mm. Of the guys you said, Ike's my guy. So I'm not surprised by Ike, so... That's a good one. Anyhow, what's your dumb point we're all going to laugh at nervously?
I got a heads up for you and a question for Tommy. If I may, Evan, heads up. Tommy sounds like, during his Saturday show, the extended filler show, that he might report you to HR because you were sending inappropriate pics of male genitalia to your little group chat and your coworkers incessantly. What?
Evan.
Tommy, care to explain?
Yeah, there were several times that I woke up to pictures that Evan sent of statues where the guy's schwanz was hanging out.
It's David.
And I'm like, why does anyone need that? Famous for what?
He's got the most famous penis in the history of the world.
Reese's peanut butter cup. He's referring to the David?
Yes. All along, I thought it was Ron Jeremy, but I guess it's David.
I thought it was the African-American dude, God rest his soul that is on all those memes that everybody gets from star. Their friends.
Yeah. Next topic.
Oh, God. Tommy, I have a question, man.
Yeah.
When what's you were happening? Getting babysat in that Cadillac bar and that little menage, yeah. mm-hmm. you talked about how you hate small talk. Were you able to make small talk with the people that were treating you and babysitting you, or you stay quiet?
No, so that wasn't to me small talk. That's a family that I've gotten to know that invited me to the Cadillac Club that I've already met the last time we were there. So I didn't consider that small talk. And I really only consider small talk to be bad when I see you every day. So if I see Tiki every day and we do the small talk, like, Tiki, how was your weekend? Yeah. How are the kids? That's small talk. If I haven't seen you in a couple weeks and we chit-chat, I don't consider that. Nor did we have the small talk. We just talk shop. We talk baseball. We talked about the show, etc. So no biggie on that. There was no small talk.
I forgot. So
you didn't hermit yourself in the corner? You actually got involved? And
yes, like, they invited me there.
Next to them in the seats. By the way, you're welcome for that, Tommy, because that's his like adopted parents now, and it's only because I couldn't go. And so he took
Oh, really? Family. Is that how it worked out? They invited you? You said no, and they said, all right, well, ask Tommy?
The original Cadillac Club show.
Yeah.
They invited me to stay. I couldn't stay.
Oh, gotcha.
So Tommy went, and now he's got a new family.
He's got the... And thank you, Ozzy. Good talking to you. I miss you the least of most, but still, I miss you. Tommy now has an Indigo to Knick games and an Indigo to Met games. He doesn't need me anymore.
Wait, who's the Knicks game?
The Knicks games are dear friend Kerry and Justin in Sayreville.
Right. That's right.
I'm their adopted son, although I think I'm older than them. But they're my Knick parents. And then my Met parents, obviously, are Rick, Melissa, and Constance.
Yes. Yeah, you don't need me anymore. I'm so proud of you.
Well, thankfully I didn't, because you had me sing for my supper. You didn't only invite me when it's 100 degrees outside or they're playing some scrub team or whatever the case may be. It was always like the scraps I would get. And I was insulted by that. This is the Cadillac Club for David Wright Day. They invited me. Now, I did say I would get back to them, and I was a little wishy-washy, but, you know, I ended up going, and I appreciate the invite.
So the David is in the Louvre? Is that where it's located, Teak? I'm trying to remember.
No.
Is that the one in Florence?
David is in Florence.
David's in Florence. I'm sorry. I went to so many museums, I'm confused. So believe it or not, because I know you don't believe me, and people in the audience may not believe me, but I did a few videos while I was out there talking about the Mets, one about the Jets, with backdrops of places in Europe. That was my wife's idea. And she said, I got this great idea. Why don't you do like 30-second videos in front of these awesome places and talk sports? And I said, okay, that seems like a great idea. So it wasn't something that I did like, oh, I need to talk sports. But one of the ideas I did have, and I did not pull it off, but I'm going to tell you about it anyway, is I wanted to break down the Mets right in front of the David's penis. Like, I thought that was going to be amazing. Like, just stand there with it hanging over me and just talk about the Mets. And as I got there, because I got to the front, I got nervous. I got stage fright. Like, people are looking. They're looking at the David. It's one of the most famous things in the world. I'm in Florence, Italy. Can I really just turn around with this thing above my shoulder and talk about the Met bullpen? So I didn't do it. I think it would have been great, Tiki, but... Yeah.
It would have been memorable. You might have gone viral for that one.
Especially if
you could have secretly referenced what was behind you without referencing what was behind you.
What he needed to do was drop a Dickie Lovelady as he was breaking it down in front of the David statue. Evan, you'll never...
I can't believe what happened to Dickie.
That would have been perfect content.
I can't believe it. Oh, wait.
I just couldn't do it. I felt too much respect to the David and to whatever the name of that museum is in Florence, where I was like, I can't do this. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to position it perfectly where it's just that. And I'm going to talk about Dickie Lovelady and the Met bullpen. Couldn't pull the trigger. I was just listening to that traffic update we had here on WFAN, and all I could hear was the 7 train isn't running. So for anybody heading out to Citi Field tonight to see Mike Trout, which is a rarity because he doesn't play at Citi Field, it's only the fourth time he's ever going to play over there, figure out a different way over, basically, is the message from that update, because the 7 train is not running. Now, the good news is, if you're a Yankee fan, things are very simple tonight. You're not getting on a plane. You're not getting on a train. You're not getting in your car. You're sitting down tonight. You're turning on your TV. Yes Network, Yankees, Blue Jays, what feels like a monstrous series considering it's only July, and one of the guys who will be calling the games is John Flaherty. He'll be broadcasting with Michael Kay tonight on Yes. Pre-game show will begin at 6:30. John, Tiki Barber, Evan Roberts, thanks for coming on. How are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You know, this feels like a huge series because of, A, the way the Yankees won Saturday night, B, getting swept by the Blue Jays a few weeks ago. Do you think the guys in that room walk into the building tonight all fired up the way the fans are for this three-game series, even though it's July 21st?
Yeah, I don't think the guys are fired up like the fans are. But, you know, one thing I can guarantee you, the guys remember what happened here those four games the last time the Yankees came to Toronto. Being swept here, they definitely remember how that felt. So, you know, it's not one of those times here at the end of July where you're saying it's a must win and we got to make a statement and all of that stuff. But when you have the Blue Jays right in front of you, they got a three-game lead. This is an important three-game set, and they're matched up pretty good pitching-wise, so I think they feel good about how they're playing coming in, winning the last two. You know, Toronto's feeling the same way. I can tell you guys being here at the Rogers Center, man, these fans are fired up. They're excited about their team, so it should be a couple really good games.
Yeah, no, they had a lot of expectations for themselves this offseason. You know, they wanted to spend money. They couldn't quite do it, even though they did re-sign Vlad. But, you know, the energy's going to be right. Let me ask you, John, a question. I guess it's procedural from an Aaron Boone perspective. Fans want to see Jason Dominguez play every day. They know that the more he plays, the better he's going to get. Even when he goes 0 for 5, you can't punish the kid. But it feels like every now and then he gets punished, and it doesn't seem fair. He gets sat down, and Trent Grisham ends up taking the leadoff spot. But from a manager standpoint, how do you manage a kid like that? You know what I mean? Like, do you listen to the fan, or do you do what your gut tells you to do is right? Or actually, I think more appropriately, what analytics tell you to do what's right.
Yeah, it's not an easy situation, Teak. And even, you know, I walk in today and I see the Yankee lineup and Bellinger's not in the lineup.
Right.
And you're thinking, wait, we got a big three-game set here against the Blue Jays and he's not playing. But it's one of those situations where I feel like Jason Dominguez has done everything the Yankees have asked him to do the first half of the season. He's gotten better out in left field. He's gotten better from the right side of the plate. His at-bats from the left side, he gives you some thump. He gives you some speed. So, yeah, I'd love to see him in there every day and kind of graduating to the next level. But then you think of it from Boone's perspective. You got Grisham that you have to get in there. Bellinger has to have his at-bats. They love Ben Rice and what he does at the plate. Now they're giving him some starts behind the plate. So it seems like there are two guys every night that you're saying they should be in the lineup. But with the way the roster is constructed right now, it's not that easy. So tonight the odd man out is Bellinger. And you know, I've loved the way he's played the last couple of weeks, but he's not going to be starting tonight.
You know, John, that's a good problem to have when you're just too many good players to play. But at some point, does it become an issue from a player standpoint? Do they start to feel, I don't think Jason Dominguez will. He's too young, right? He's a rookie. You know, shut up, do what you're told, rookie. But from the other veteran standpoint, when does it become an issue or does it not become one?
Well, you know, from everything that we're told and being in that clubhouse, everybody gets along. They're all on the same page, Tiki. But I can tell you from a hitter's perspective, when you get rolling and you get on a heater, you don't even want to look at the lineup. You just assume I'm in there every day. I'm going to get my four at-bats and I'm going to run this thing out as long as I can. And the worst thing is to be, you know, on a good streak. You know, like the example the other day, Trent Grisham hits that grand slam, a huge swing of the bat,
right,
and he's not in the starting lineup the next day. Like, that's kind of the way the game is these days. You know, I'm as old school as anybody and would love to see a regular lineup being thrown out there every day. It's just not the way it is in today's game.
So you mentioned Cody Bellinger because Tiki and I were arguing about this before about why he's not playing. And I'm on the side of, well, his career numbers against Gausman aren't good. He's 2-for-23 with 9 strikeouts. So I kind of understand why he's the odd man out. How much stock would you put in career numbers when the sample size is 23 at-bats?
Yeah, that's enough for me. You know, I agree with you that the numbers aren't good, but, you know, there's also a part of me that's like you throw your best competitors out there, and, you know, Belly does so many things for you, not even just at the plate, but defensively and kind of bringing that attitude to the lineup every day. So, you know, 23 at-bats is definitely legit, and if Aaron Boone is looking at all of those numbers, you know, he's saying that out of the three games, I'll give him tonight off because maybe it's not a good matchup against Gausman.
We're talking to John Flaherty. Game tonight on the S Network. Yankees, Blue Jays, first of a three-game series. King Aaron Judge, we call him that because he's the king of New York City. He has batted second half the time. he has batted third half the time. You mentioned, hey, old school, you'd like to have one set order. Do you prefer him in the two spot, or would you prefer him in the three spot?
Well, again, I'm old school. I just think the number, you know, hitting third is perfect for him. But I know Aaron likes hitting second. You know, he's not very particular, you know, where he's going to make a big deal about it. But, you know, it's one of those things day to day that I just think, you know, for me, I just loved it when, you know, we knew what our lineup was every day. I knew I was a backup player when I was in New York, and I knew that what day of the week I was going to play, and Jorge Posada knew when he was going to have a day off. So you can kind of prepare accordingly. In today's game, it just doesn't work that way. So, you know, wherever Aaron Judge is hitting, you know, he's putting on quite a display this year, and he's got great numbers against Gausman with six home runs. So it should be a good matchup for him tonight.
I know, I was just looking up his intentional walks this year. I know it's up there because it was up there a couple of weeks ago and we were actively tracking it. But when does it get to a point? Because I think it's starting to get there. You see him in critical moments. It's just like, all right, throw up the fourth, walk him. Right, it's not quite the Barry Bonds treatment, but it's getting there. 25 intentional walks he's already at this season, which is leading the league. Obviously, he led the league last year with 20. So, I mean, it's going to keep happening to him. And I can imagine that gets frustrating. But when you have Giancarlo Stanton hitting behind you, I guess Goldschmidt is still behind him as well, it almost becomes punishing for managers to do that.
It does. I'm interested, Tiki, these next 3 days here because Snyder, the manager of the Blue Jays, the last time the Yankees were up here, he walked Aaron Judge a bunch of times.
Yep.
And you know what? I one of the things I always feel like, if you're a manager and you tell a pitcher and a catcher, hey, be careful with him. Don't give him anything to hit. You might as well walk him. Mm. You might as well intentionally walk him because you're putting that negative thought into your head and saying, don't make a mistake. You know, pitch off the plate. Well, if you're going to tell a pitcher to do that, in my opinion, the manager should just walk him. So I had a lot of respect for Snyder doing that the last time we were up here, and we'll see if he does it again this time around. You know, the difference is Giancarlo Stanton is locked in right now, and, you know, he's going to give a lot of protection to Aaron Judge along with Jazz Chisholm. So those are the guys that are going to have to make opposing managers pay.
You know, you mentioned what John Schneider did last time. It's really just him and Ron Washington while he was obviously still managing. Those were the two guys who said, hey, screw it. We're not going to let this guy beat us. And no one has really followed suit. Does it surprise you that other managers haven't followed that?
Evan, I've been saying this for years. I'm like, I don't get it. There are so many times I'm like, why are they even messing with this guy? Just walk him and take your chances with the rest of the guys in the lineup. But again, I don't know, you know, I'm not an analytic guy. I don't know what the numbers say that if you intentionally walk somebody, it's going to come back to haunt you. But, you know, we see it every day, obviously, what Aaron Judge does. And I'm just amazed at how many pitchers, how many managers are still continuing to throw to him. So when a guy like Snyder up here does it the last time, it kind of jumped out to me. And I had a lot of respect for it, to be honest with you.
You know, John, let's flip to the rotation real quick, because I think the lineup or the rotation is favorable for the Yankees with Rodon and Slitler going, and then obviously Max Fried. But Cam had I think it was really good first out and gave up some runs ultimately. But what do you expect for him going forward? I know it's quick. It's like, all right, kid, prove it. But he proved it in one outing, and now coming off the All-Star break, what can we expect from him?
Well, there's a few things there, Tiki. The way he handled himself in that first big league outing, the stuff was better than we were told it was going to be. I mean, we were told his fastball was about 95. I mean, he was lighting it up at 97, 98 in that game, so obviously had a little something extra. So the stuff impressed me, but even more impressive for a young kid was the way he carried himself out on the mound. And even when, you know, he got taken out of the game, got the great ovation, it was almost like, okay, been there, done that, I'm good. Like, we're fine. So I think the Yankees love his makeup. He had a little bicep problem over the All-Star break, and, you know, maybe that is from overthrowing a little bit in his first outing. So first thing for me on Tuesday, tomorrow night, I'm going to be looking to see the velocity on the fastball. And if it settles in more where we were told it was going to be, you know, 95, 96, or is it going to jump up like it did last time?
Right.
That's just something to pay attention to.
Where did he come from? Because he's not highly rated as a prospect, but all of a sudden, this season, he rose to the top, at least from those who are watching the eye test. It wasn't necessarily in the MLB rankings, but the eye test was telling you, this kid is a major leaguer.
Yeah, you know what, we did a lot of spring training games, and he pitched in a lot of those games, and to be very honest with you, watching him pitch, I didn't see anything that jumped off the screen to me that I said, oh, this kid's going to be in the big leagues this year. So obviously he figured something out from spring training to the beginning of the year, because the stuff is noticeably better. You know, you give player development a lot of credit. You give a young pitcher a lot of credit for maybe figuring some things out. But he's a different guy right now, stuff-wise, than he was in spring training.
And we're going to see Max Fried in a couple of days. He was dealing with the blister stuff. His last four starts have been mediocre. Obviously, it was going to be impossible for him to keep up the pace that he had in April and May. It was unbelievable. But how concerned would you be about the blister issue and what we're going to see from Max Fried as we begin the second half with him?
You know what? You know, I just trust the veteran guy when he says, hey, the blister's not a problem. He threw on the side yesterday, I think, and declared he's ready to go. And I'm glad you brought up that, you know, there's just no way a starting pitcher can keep up the pace that he had the whole year. I mean, everybody's going to go through about a 3-4-5-game stretch where the stuff's maybe just a little bit backwards, and then they rebound and get it going again. So I expect this little break from Max Fried, you know, not pitching in the All-Star game, getting this blister straightened out. I expect him to get on a run here as he starts his second half.
We're talking to John Flaherty. So I saw that Old Timers Day, the game is returning, which I'm very excited about. I like the game instead of just announcing guys on the field. I saw the roster. You'll, of course, be there. Roger Clemens is going to show up for the first time as they honor the 2000 team. But I noticed the guy missing. Why is Derek Jeter afraid to play baseball in an old-timers game? Because that's what, to me, this is about, John. He's afraid of playing baseball again.
I don't know about the afraid part, Evan, but I noticed that, too. I mean, listen, obviously, I'm thrilled every time the Yankees invite me to old-timers day and excited to go back again. But I did notice today on the list that Derek's not going to be there. I haven't heard any reason why. I don't know if there's a conflict going on, to be quite honest with you. When I heard we were playing the game again, I looked at that list to see how many catchers were on there, and it's only me and Jorge, so I guess we're both going to be strapping it on and catching three innings. Nice. So at 57 years old, I hope I can get down there for three innings. And guys, I'm going to guarantee you, I'm not doing the one knee down catching style. I'm going to do the old school traditional catching position for three innings if they need me to do that.
Can your knees handle that? I mean, come on.
You know what? I got out of it pretty healthy, believe it or not. The knees are not a problem. I got some neck issues and some shoulder issues, but the knees and hips are pretty good, believe it or not.
Nice.
Do you like playing the game? I know as a fan, I enjoyed it. I was disappointed that they didn't have a game for the last bunch of years, but for you, do you like there being a game and playing in it?
Yeah, I loved it. And, you know, we do a great job at Yes. And, you know, thanks for mentioning we got a pregame show coming up at 6:30. But, you know, it's great when they throw, a mic on myself and Paul O'Neill and David Cone. And I could be behind the plate kind of talking to some of the hitters and just, you know, that back and forth. And, you know, Tiki knows this. When you retire, you miss the guys, right? You miss being around the guys. So for that one day, you know, I get to hang out with Ron Guidry and Bucky Dent and, you know, all of these guys that I watched growing up. It's just a great day for me. And when you play the game, it's just a good time to get out there and just have a little fun. So super excited that we're doing the game again.
I'm always curious how competitive it gets, because you say it's going to be casual, but it ends up becoming competitive at some point. So as the catcher, are you guys using PitchCom? Are you just, are you just throwing down signals? Like, what goes on here?
You know what? That is a great question, because the last time we did the game, I don't think PitchCom was in vogue back then. So we might have to give it a shot on Old Timers Day. But, you know, to answer your question, and you wouldn't be surprised, you would not be surprised by this. There are guys who show up to take batting practice, and it's on.
Wow.
Like, they're ready to get after it and put on a show. And, you know, the last thing we want is for anybody to be embarrassed or maybe get hurt. So I think half the guys have a lot of fun with it. There are about a quarter of the guys who really want to go out there and perform and try not to embarrass themselves. So hopefully we get through it. Nobody gets hurt. And I'll give you a full report on the PitchCom after the game.
Awesome. I look forward to it.
That is coming up on August 9th at Yankee Stadium. It's the 77th Old Timers Day, and they are bringing the game back. Real quick, trade deadline's a week and a half away. In your opinion, the biggest need that Brian Cashman has to address before the deadline is what?
Well, third base is obviously a huge issue. The bullpen is already packed at this point, so I think another arm or two out there. And, you know, Luis Gil's coming back, and all the reports are great on him, so that's going to be a nice addition. But, you know, the one thing, you know, as a player being around the Yankees, Brian Cashman is front office. They're out there getting it done, so they're going to try to make a big deal to fill some of these holes. We'll see what they can get done.
You know, one of the last one before I let you go here, we saw it last night. Marcus Stroman, he gave an effort. I don't know if I expected to see that from him After last year, going to the bullpen, not being happy about it in spring training this year, the injury, it just, you didn't know what you were going to get from him. But he rose to the occasion. Where is he mindset-wise? Because he might be important, not only down the stretch as a starter, but especially you get to the postseason, say you don't fill these bullpen issues, if he has to convert back over to where he was at the end of last season. Oh, we dropped him.
So. Oh, we lost John? Well, you check him out tonight. He'll be on the YES Network pregame at 6:30. Yankees-Blue Jays, the first of a three-game series, Yankees-Jays. And I was asking myself this question this morning. I was thinking about this series. I want to win the division. I think winning the division is important. But to me, winning the division is important when you can get a first-round bye. Because not playing in the wild card series is preferable. Like, who wants the risk losing a best of three series? And the way the American League is laid out right now, you know, they got ground to make up not only pass the Toronto Blue Jays, but pass either Houston or Detroit in the process. If you're not getting a first round bye, I think the division is kind of overrated. Now, it does guarantee you home field advantage in that best of three series, but I don't think that matters that much, to be quite honest with you.
Right. It's a couple games for the Houston, two games behind Houston. Well, I guess it's, two in the loss column. And then what is it against Detroit? It's four against Detroit. So, I mean, there is work.
They got work to do because you got to be a top two team.
Right.
Otherwise,
they got work just to win the division, though.
Right, because winning the division without a first-round bye gives you home field advantage. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, obviously you'd rather have it than not have it, but eliminating that series entirely by going right to the divisional series, that's the goal. Right. That's the preferable outcome, and the Yankees have a lot of work to get there. I said this at the top of the show. I think they're going to have a really good week. I think they're going to have a really good week for a few reasons. Number one, I thought Saturday's win felt like a season-defining win, the comeback against Atlanta, and they backed it up by winning on Sunday. I obviously love the starting pitchers that they have going this week. We'll see what Carlos Rodon does. He's had his moments against Toronto, but Max Fried certainly in the finale. We'll see about Cam Schlittler. You got to go slow with that, bro. That was my first time doing it because I was away for a few weeks, and I've been practicing for days, you know, to make sure of it. But he was at least impressive in his first start. We'll see how he does. The Yankees have some good numbers against Kevin Gausman. I think they're going to sweep the Toronto Blue Jays. Yeah. I really do. And I'm not like some openly positive Yankee shill. I'm not Chris McMonagle. I just happen to think they're going to have a lot of success this
week. Confidence from Evan Roberts.
That's right. By the way, I have the list of attendees for Yankees Old Timers Day. And I've given this opinion before. So you may have heard this already. But I'm going to say it again because I think it's one of my most brilliant ideas, and no one seems to like it. So I'll say it again until people start liking it. I believe that for Old Timers Days, we need to have crossovers. We need to have rematches. So the New York Yankees are going to honor the 25th anniversary of the 2000 Yankees. And so a lot of 2000 Yankees will be there, including some appearing for the very first time. David Justice, very first time. Roger Clemens, very first time. Jose Vizcaino, game-winning hit in game one of that World Series, first time. I believe that the 2000 Mets should also be invited. And I believe that the old-timers alumni game, whether it's the one with the Yankees or the one with the Mets, probably should be the one with the Yankees since they won, should be a 2000 World Series rematch. Come on!
That would be amazing. There's no way that they would do it.
Who no way wouldn't
both,
do it?
Both teams would agree to doing that.
Why?
Because who's sharing the, like, who's being honored then?
Everybody. For the city, we added a Subway World Series. Mm-hmm. It was 25 years ago. Guys can have a good sense of humor about it. Like, listen, no matter what happens, the Yankees won the World Series. We've all accepted that. If the Mets beat the crap out of them in the rematch, it's not like we're going to get bragging rights. But wouldn't it be cool to see Roger Clemens face Mike Piazza in an alumni game?
Can you play with a wiffle ball so if he throws, like, in wiffle ball bat, so if he decides to throw it at him again, it really won't hurt?
If you want. Do you not think that's an awesome idea?
I mean, it is kind of a great idea. I just don't know if either of these teams would go for it. It would be awesome, but I don't even know how you would broach that with either one of these teams.
You don't like it, Tommy?
I hate it.
Why?
And I'll tell you why I hate it. Because there is a no-win scenario as a Met fan in that spot.
If the Mets win the game, you're going to hear from the law firm of McPherson, McMonagle, and Marash. Oh, you couldn't get it done 25 years ago, but now you got it done. And if the Mets lose, you still can't beat us 25 years later with the decrepit guys from 2000.
Right, so it's no win for the Mets.
Of course not. Right. And I do think what Evan is saying in the fourth, if we were all respectful of each other, which we're not, there'll never be peace. Yes, it's a great idea. I would love to see it, but it's just, as a Met fan, you know what the Yankee fans are going to say, Evan. Yeah. Come on, man.
No, it makes sense. Hold on real quick, Evan. Goodbye, SNY. Thank you for joining us. As always, Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers. Go ahead,
with all due respect to Met fans or Yankee fans, how stupid could one be to put stock in the result of an alumni baseball game?
Are you new around here?
Mm-hmm.
You know how it goes, especially with the baseball teams.
I just think it would be really cool. And the first time I ever brought this up idea was actually during the pandemic back in 2020 when it was the 20-year anniversary. And I think I pitched it to Beningo and then Craig. I said, wouldn't this be great? Like, let's just Central Park it. Mets-Yankees, the rematch. It'd be fun. It'd be a joint fun event. And look, I don't know if the Yankees would take their old-timers day and invite Mets. Obviously, that's kind of below the Yankees. It's only Yankee players there. But the Mets are having their alumni classic in September, and they're doing this weird Citi Field versus Shea Stadium shtick. I'd much rather invite some Yankees. Have them get booed. They're the bad guys. I'm sure some Yankee fans would show up. And let's have a World Series rematch. It would be tremendous.
I mean, it would be. I just think the pulling it off would be very, very hard.
Well,
very hard.
If the Mets did it.
I mean, if it was a neutral site, like there's no neutral site.
Central Park.
Central Park?
Yeah.
Just to have like 50,000 people in Central Park watching a softball game?
You think 50,000 people would show up for this?
Yes.
You think so?
I do, because it's so accessible. It's so easy.
So,
I mean, half the city could just walk.
Here's the question. Can the Met fan, because I met Steve Cohen once, and I told him this idea, not about specifically a Subway World Series rematch, but I said, hey, look, I loved Old Timers Day. It was right after the original Old Timers Day, and I said, we should do themes. Now, you could argue he listened to me, because the theme they're doing is Citi Field versus Shea Stadium. But would it bother the Met fan, and Tommy, you're a great example of this, would it bother the Met fan if the Mets invited the Yankees to have a rematch?
I don't think so. I don't think the Met fan would be bothered by that. I just think, like I said, no matter what the result is they're going to hear about it. That's all. But I don't think they would be bothered by it.